Blog Talk Radio.
Every now and then, you ought to let your mind go back
to just how good God meant to you. Can I get a witness here? Sometimes when I could see my way, she made a way. And he's so worthy. I tell him sometimes, you've been my mother when mother was gone, and you are so worthy. I think about it, just one lifetime of living you, Jesus, wouldn't be long enough. Oh yeah, he been good to me. He brought me. He told me. He kept me. God ain't never left me. He just been good to me. Somebody know what I'm singing about here? Have he been good to you? I lift up my hand and I praise your name, Jesus. I praise your name, Jesus. Yeah. Is that that name that every knee shall bow?
Hello. Hello, how are you doing?
All right.
I think we have another guest on the show. It sounds like a guy that he and I go way back, and we fought each other way, way back, and he's down in Miami, Florida, and I invited him to come on the call, Mr. Jose Ribalta. Is that you?
Yes, sir. It's Jose Ribalta, yes. It's a pleasure to be in the show, pleasure.
Why don't you take a moment to share with the listening audience your book. You have a book. But even before you do that, why don't you go back to when we fought each other and explain to the people what happened in that fight. Do you remember the year and where it was that we fought? And just bring us up to date and let the people know what happened in that fight.
Well, me and Buck Curtis Smith fought in Buffalo, New York, 1985, we fought. So therefore, I saw you, I said, man, that's a big dude right there, man, he looks strong. But I said to myself, you know what, I'm slim, so therefore, I'm going to use speed on him. So then, therefore, that's what I did, especially in the first round, when I first went out there, and he's catching a devastating right hand, I said, oh, my God. You know, how did this guy hit me with that? You know, cause he looked kind of, you know, telegraph your point in time, but even that right hand, he did not telegraph that right hand. I said, wow, you know, but I give you a lot of credit. You know, I don't know how you caught me that right hand, but you did. You know, I guess you must have fainted with or something. You know, but you caught me with a good right hand. And I thought it was a real good. I thought it was a great fight. It was a great fight. Good fight.
And that brings us up to what you're doing now, Jose. You just finished the book, and it's on Amazon.com. Why don't you share with the listening audience the name of your book and how they can buy your book?
Well, my book right now is on Amazon, and it's called Courage in the Ring. Courage in the Ring is on Amazon. I talk very, very heavily and strongly about the 11 heavyweight fighters that I box, like Larry Holmes, James Bunk, Curtis Smith, Michael Stokes, Leon Spinks, oh my God, Tony Tubbs, oh my God, so many fights. Can't remember the fights that good. The fights that good, but still, you know, I fought 11 heavyweight champions, you know. And like I said, you know, to me, one of the hardest punchers, many people ask me, who was the hardest puncher that you boxed? Well, I know it was Tyson. They tell me, no, it was not Tyson. The heaviest puncher I ever fought was James Bunker Smith. He's the heaviest puncher I ever boxed before, you know. But, hey, what? It was a good fight. Good fight, though, me and Bunker.
Well, I appreciate that, Jose, you know, but what a lot of people don't realize, even though I was big and strong and fast, you know, I was pretty quick to be a big guy. But, you know, I came to the ring in the natural and in the supernatural. You know, I got a late start, and I figured I didn't have a lot of time to waste. And, you know, I had a long career, 18 years, long career, and I'm going to get back in the ring next year. I'm training, getting back in the ring. I've been called out to Punisher. He's probably listening. But Punisher, you're going to be in Myrtle Beach June the 14th, 2014, and it might be a knockout.
Oh my God!
No way.
Maybe the Punisher might want to stay home that night.
Do you notice another number out there, Pastor Hill? It was supposed to be Tyrell Biggs' brother, Xavier Hill. Biggs is supposed to be on the call. He's in Greensboro, but he lives in Atlanta, Georgia. That's Tyrell Biggs. He was the first heavyweight to win the Olympic gold medal, United States. So he's supposed to be on. He just wrote a book as well, and he's going to share his story. Xavier, are you on the call?
I don't see Xavier.
Yeah, it should be Atlanta number 678. Should be. Maybe he didn't get on there. Well, we're going to throw it back to Mr. Miller. I mean, Ed, I thought we were live, but it was must have been Memorex. But anyway, why don't you share again, Ed, what you shared before, and tell the people that's listening about your book, about your wife's book, and some things that you and I and Geraldine is going to be doing here in the very near future.
Let me start it this way. In 1998, my wife, Geraldine Holloman Miller, she's the great-grandniece of Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune, had the first Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune birthday celebration in her hometown of Maysville. She was the mayor of Maysville, South Carolina. So she asked the former heavyweight champion of the world, Bone Crusher Smith, to come and be a grand marshal in that parade. And sure enough, who showed up but the champ? He showed up. But she has been working with the champ for many years now, and she has written three books. One of them is The Mighty Hugo Comes to Town, and they're all on Amazon.com. That's The Mighty Hugo Comes to Town, Dr. Bethune Children Authors, and her latest, which was published on November 26th, is called Oh My Hair Day. And I'm sure that a lot of women remember being tender-headed when they had to sit down and get their hair fixed, and then they cried up a storm. So she decided that she would write a book about being tender-headed and some cures for being tender-headed. So you get that book. It's on Amazon.com, and it's called Oh My Hair Day. And then the champ and I, we will be going across the country, bringing about the program called Making a Difference. These young people, instead of them picking up a gun and shooting somebody, the champ came up with a program that will cause them to pick up a pen and write a story. And then we are going to help those individuals publish their stories around the world. So, and it's not complicated. So why pick up a gun and go to jail when you can pick up a pen, write a good story, get it published, and make some money and not have to look back over your shoulder? That's the heavyweight champion of the world, James Bone Crusher Smith.
Thank you very much, Ed. I appreciate that. And, you know, we're going to partner with but Jose Ribalta in Miami and Xavier Biggs in Atlanta. And we're going to, on our show, on our reality show after school program, we're going to do it once a week. And we're going to share it with kids and let them know that, and their parents, and their adults. I think everyone should write their story. You know, it's easier than you think. You know, I think fear. And then the definition of fear is false evidence appearing real. A lot of times we allow fear to stop us from doing things, and I think the book writing, especially with the program that Amazon.com have, And we know how to get that thing done, Ed and Jose. We've done it, so we know how to get it done. And we want to share that with the people and just let them know that they can be making money. I mean, they don't have to be sitting around. If you got a book in your hand, you got cash mm-hmm. in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you share with the people, Ed, first, and then Jose, why don't you just share with the people how simple this thing is and how quickly they can be into making money?
Well, I feel that Amazon.com is very, very simple, you know, and I really feel that, you know, it's best to go ahead and write a book than to go out there, Mr. Williams said earlier, than to go out there and hurting each other by shooting each other or doing things like that, you know, which I don't agree with, you know. But one thing I do want to say is that Jay Booker Smith, you know, when he fought Mike Tyson, right, I said to myself, you know what, if he had more experience as far as having more amateur fights as an amateur, he would have done a lot more better than Mike Tyson, you know, because you did show a lot of heart in that fight, but what happened, I think, was lack of experience that you really didn't have, you know, that I wish you really could have had, as you were younger. You know, and I think that was basically what was the thing that was missing in that fight with one person, and even against me, and also in a lot of your fights, you know, if you had more experience, amateur experience, you probably could even be champion today. You know, if you had more amateur experience, but you did great with what you had, though. God bless you.
Well, you know, one thing for sure, he knocked out Tim Witherspoon real quick. Every time I watch that fight, I wonder whether or not he was still in the ring. But see, the good thing about, if you ever been to Magnolia, North Carolina, and I was there when they funeralized his mother recently, my wife said to me, she says, now, Dr. Bethune got to go to Magnolia, North Carolina, and see where James Bonecrusher Smith grew up. And when we got there, where they buried his mom, if you look around, I see why they named him James Bonecrusher Smith. If you see the tobacco fields like I did, I'm trying to be proper. They call it tobacco field, but they call it back of field.
Yeah.
but what James Bonecrusher Smith, see these young people, you talking about a young man that was a college graduate when he won the heavyweight championship of the world. 7 days notice. And he went in the ring with Tim Witherspoon and knocked him cold. And you're talking about a young man, like I said, with a college degree. And one thing that I can say earnestly, and the champ and I have been around each other for a long time, everywhere he goes, whites and blacks have the highest respect for this man that I've ever seen. I'm not just saying it because the champ's on the line, and I'm not just saying it because he wrote a book called Make a Difference, and then partnering with my wife, Geraldine, on her book, Oh My Hair Day, and they're going to travel around the world. And then you got Jose coming in with Courage in the Ring. And when you stop and you think about it and you're looking for an opportunity, and I'm talking to these young people that are on the street committing these crimes, when you are with these guys in their presence, you know what comes with it? What comes with it is that camera is coming. With a camera comes opportunity, because if you try to write a book on your own, nobody will know it but you. So why create history when you can't then show the world history? That's where these guys, and it's a ton of these guys, James Bonecrusher Smith, I'll tell you what, he is one of the most respected, and I'll say it again, the most respected man that I've seen in the fight world. When he and I travel around and people walk in there and they're looking for him and they know him, and what surprised me more than anything else, white people have the highest respect for this man. And I said, wow, this man really, and it's not a fake situation. And if you think I'm kidding, move around with him, and then you will say the same thing. He is the most highly respected fighter of all times. And my hat's off to you, champ. My hat's off to you. And especially with your thoughts and your plans of helping these young kids that are going to jail. And they got brain now. They have talent. You and I talked about that.
Yeah. Thank you, Ed. And you're right, man. These kids are not stupid. They're not crazy. They have a lot of talent. And my program is about, the Do Right Challenge is about to meet the kids where they are. And they're definitely
right
on the Internet. So I think, you know, if we could just meet the kids on the Internet, we have a day of the week, and I like Monday. And because we can continue doing this show, radio show on Friday, and direct people to the Monday after-school program, we just still have guests on, and we're going to reach out to some more boxing legends and let them know how easy it is to write a book. And we're going to help them write a book, help them publish a book, and then at the same time, you know, what we're going to ask them to do is come on this online reality show and just lend their name and their talent and their advice to these kids. I mean, you know, these kids and their parents have seen us fight on TV, and they haven't seen us fight on TV. They can Google us, or they can go to YouTube.com, and they can bring us up real quick. And I think that would make a big difference. You know, my book is Mad, Make a Decision, but I think that would make a big difference with these kids and their parents, to where they can partner and plug in. When I say partner, I mean just hang out on the Internet with boxing legends. I think that's a big deal. Thank you, Ed. And,
yeah.
Pastor Hill, how do you feel about that? Yeah, Ed, you want to say something?
Yeah, what I wanted to say is that, you know, if any mayors or anyone that's on council or affiliated with governments, then you need to get with your local mayor, because stop and think about it for a second, and you say, well, okay, the champ is coming. I got crime in my city, and there are many cities around the world that have crime. Well, the champ is coming to do what? He's coming to take those kids, put them into a classroom setting, and then let them become writers, authors. And we have many authors that carry a name that they'll be in the room with. And when they walk out of that room, they will have a good product. And then not only that, the people that are around them, just stop and think about it. So right now, if I go to a city, and I'm not going to pick on any city, but I'll just stick on Wilmington, and you look at the crime rate in Wilmington, North Carolina. Well, if the champ's going into Wilmington, North Carolina, to work with these kids that are creating and committing crime and dropping out of school, because, see, when a kid drops out of school, where are they going? On the streets. Okay? But if the champ goes in there, then seems as though if I was sitting in the mayor's chair, I would say, you know what, how much money am I spending right now on trying to prevent crime? And it's a high number. And then you say, well, if the champ and his and all of these other pro fighters are coming in here to help us, why don't we just rewrite a check, create a classroom environment with some computers, and then bring those kids in there, and then let them become productive to society? What's wrong with that?
You know, Ed, we can make a personal appearance, or we can be on a webcam. We can be anywhere. We can be in a city where a boxing legend is, and all of a sudden kids from around the world can log on to the website, championforkids.org. They have a password, and they can see us. They can see us, and we can talk to them anywhere in the world. That's technology.
Absolutely. And you got Ken McDonald there who teaches. Maybe you need to – you have all of the pieces there that makes this thing workable. And it's not – it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that the champ has something here that'll work, and it's not costly. Nothing is free in America. Nothing is free in the world. Because anybody who thinks that, well, we're going to get the chance to come in here and bring all of these pro fighters in here and we don't have to spend any money, man, you better wake up because you're dreaming. I don't care what it is, it costs. What it costs, you got to pay the cost to be the boss. But why pouring water down a bad hole? They had a major killing, I mean a shooting right here in Columbia, South Carolina, just recently. Nonsense. Nonsense. They had one today in Colorado. Nonsense. Nonsense. Because what? He's mad with the teacher? About what?
Yeah, in Colorado they said the kid was asking for the teacher. He was coming to school to see the teacher. And he had a gun, so evidently he wanted to kill the teacher.
Well, the teacher didn't wait around.
The teacher left town.
The teacher
probably still running.
Yeah, but see, with a program like what we are talking about, that kid possibly could have been saved.
14 years, was it 14?
And many others.
Wow.
Give them an ink pen. Give them a pencil. Give them a pencil to start with so they can erase. But see, writing is fun. The CHAMPS program is going to be fun writing. It's not where you're in a structured environment. It could be they could be playing a basketball game. Well, the CHAMPS says to the kid, when you go in, what position you playing? He says, I'm playing point guard. Okay, tonight you're going to either do something great or you're going to mess up terribly bad. Doesn't matter. But when you come off the court, you're going to write your story. Think about it. It's not complicated. You've got Jose here with a lot of experience. These kids are attracted to the boxing world. I got two grandsons now. They want to box. I said, normally talk to the champ first because he got a hook that you might not see, and then you might not wake up again. But we're going to talk about writing. Because everybody can't get in the ring and box. But we can bring the champ and Jose and the Buster Douglases of the world to them and say, sit down. Because here's what we know for sure. They're not going to try to fight the champ. They're not going to try to fight Jose. As old as they are, they know where to hit you. And when they hit you, it hurts.
What do you think, Jose?
We got the director of the Boys and Girl Club from Orangeburg, South Carolina on the line. You wanted to say a little something? Or you wanted to ask
him
a question?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Your name is
Willie Booker.
Hey, Mr. Booker, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Just sitting here listening to your dialogue and talking about how we must change the mindset of our kids, and that's exactly what we need to do. Because, you know, a lot of the things, the things that they see that's glorified things are not the things that everyone can do. But as you were saying, everyone can write their story. And in doing that they accomplish something. So, you know, at the Boys and Girls Club, we're about serving kids. And we serve kids from all backgrounds. But most of our kids are those disadvantaged kids that can't go to the country clubs. They can't afford to go to the YMCA. So they come to the Boys and Girls Club. And our programs are equal or better than any youth program that's in the world. So we need to understand that every kid is savable, but we have to save them in different ways.
And, Mr. Booker, you are absolutely correct. This is Ed Miller, and you know my son. My son was the former city councilman there in Orangeburg, Travis Miller.
Yes, Travis. That's my son.
And see, the good thing here, champ, Mr. Booker, there in Orangeburg,
yes.
You know, the new mayor, what's his name, Butler?
Butler, yes.
All right, see, because, and then you got the Boys and Girls Club there. Maybe Booker can talk with the mayor and Chief Davis. He's the chief of police there, and because crime goes on in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And
yes.
So maybe instead of spending all of this money and putting it down a hole, then maybe they can take some of that money and rechannel that money over to the Boys and Girls Club, and then let us bring all of these professionals in there and work with these kids, give them a pen. Because I can say this to you, when that principal says that that child cannot come back to school, that child is on the street, and them street boys and girls are waiting on them. So, and some of that we may not be able to prevent them from getting kicked out of school, but we can rechannel their thoughts.
That's a good point. And Mr. Booker, we appreciate those thoughts from you. Just want to let you know that my book, Mad, Make a Decision, is on Amazon.com, but it's a short story. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the book that these kids write. It doesn't have to be a long book. It could actually be a children's book. I mean, but the main thing is just putting their thoughts on paper. And this gives them the chance to actually think and think through situations. I think now that a lot of these kids are not thinking through situations and they make bad decisions without thinking about the consequence. Every decision has a consequence. And, you know, like I said, we can come to Orangeburg, but we don't have to come to Orangeburg. We can reach these kids where they are. They can log on to my website, championforkids.org, and come January the 13th, they can log on to the website. We'll have a PIN number where they can see us no matter where I am in the world. They can just figure out the time that we're going to be there, probably about 6 o'clock, from 6 to 7. And they can log on and get some words of wisdom. I'm going to tell them, Mr. Booker and Ed and Pastor Hill and Jose, I'm going to tell them, and everybody else that's listening, I'm going to tell them that I had some awesome parents. And my parents, they both are gone now, but they equipped me and my siblings with ways and means to make it in life. And one of the things that I teach these kids is about mom and them. And I don't even know that mom and them is an actual word, but I mean, I'm going to use that word. My mom and them, they were awesome, and I just feel good talking about them at this time. So anybody else that want to share at this time, feel free. And, Mr. Booker, I would love to work with your kids and have my other legend friends to work with them as well.
Hi, we look forward to that.
Fantastic.
I wish when I was younger I had shows like this, because it's a blessing. It's really a blessing from God to have gentlemen like you people coming out here and talking, you know, talking the way I talk, in the way of helping these young men, you know, to do better. That's a blessing, really. I feel a great blessing.
See, think about it like this. If when the CHAMP program and that little kid that was going to Piggly Wiggly there right off of Russell Street and knocking this little old lady in the head as she's trying to go shopping, that bad kid now is no longer in Orangeburg. That bad kid is being productive. Think about it. That's something to really think about. And you have the legends. The great thing about this is, and like I said, the CHAMP is committed to this thing, and he has been committed for a long time. I've worked with him for a long time. He is sincere. Most people, when they get a status and a big name like Heavyweight Champion of the World, you can't get them on the phone. Every time I've called James Bone Crusher Smith, he's called me back. Every time. That means something to a kid, because now you're talking about mentoring. Because, see, a lot of these kids, they say, he's not going to call me back. And like I said to the CHAMP, bring that belt so they'll see it. They'll see that this is the man that 7 days notice, okay, won the heavyweight championship of the world, Madison Square Garden, 1986.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you know, you know, when I see things like I saw today out in Colorado, and I hear about things that's going on in different parts of the world and the country, especially the United States, and where these kids are making bad decisions, you know, if you can sit around and not do anything and see this kind of thing happening, and it's just a matter of kids making bad decisions. Or either good decisions. I mean, you know, if we can just say a few words to them once a week or whatever, you know, I feel like we have to do it. I think we're obligated to do it. And I have a network of guys like Jose and other champions and legends that can be on my show. I mean, you know, the after-school program. And I think it make a difference when we come on there and say, hey, and I know they hear the same thing. They hear the same thing over and over and over again from the boys and girls directly from their parents. But see, sometimes when kids and the parents see people on television, all of a sudden it's a bigger deal. And I don't mind sharing words of wisdom and encouragement to anybody.
Well, Champ, why don't you share with the audience how you trained for your fight with Mike Tyson and carried him 12 rounds, the first to carry him 12 rounds, and what happened that changed things in the ring? So they need to know about being disciplined.
Yes, you know, I trained very hard for that fight. You know, I was 33 years old. Mike Tyson was 21, and you know, it was a quite difference in age. And really, I should have never agreed to fight Tyson in my next fight. And I think that was a bad decision on my part. You know, I just won the title, which, you know, I was mentally up. Winning the title like that in 86, and then the very next fight was to fight Mike Tyson. But I agreed to three fights with Don King. That was part of the settlement of the lawsuit. And but I should have never agreed to do that. So, but I was in tremendous shape physically, a little bit out of the fight mentally. But my trainer, Emo Griffith, six-time world champion, had told me how to fight Tyson. And that is to take the fight to Tyson. Don't back up, because this is a little guy, and he had just seen me knock out Witherspoon the first round. He said, fight Tyson the same way you fought Witherspoon.
Mm-hmm.
The same mindset, and Tyson will go down the same way. So, but, you know, I don't know.
What happened when you were in the ring? Tell the audience what happened when you got in the ring.
Well, I kind of changed, and I shouldn't have changed my way of thinking, and I would have knocked Tyson out. But, see, I don't like to look back. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, Ed, but I don't look back. Hindsight is 20/20, and I'm not. And I had a great career. I mean, I don't knock my career for the things I did and the time I did it. And I'm just glad I'm at a point in my life now that I had, knock on wood, you know, my parents never had to get me out of trouble, never had to get me out of jail. And that's what that's the place I'm at now. I'm not looking back. I'm going to say, if I forget about Mike Tyson, I mean, you know, Tyson was just barred from going into England. They said, you can't come in here because of your record and your history of rape and all that kind of stuff. I'm glad now that I'm Bone Crusher Smith, and this is the story. This is the place I am, and this is my story to kids and to people, that you can make good decisions throughout your life. And you don't have to get in trouble. You just got to think through situations and tell your story. Tell it in a book. Tell it wherever you are. And live the kind of life that you're happy and excited about your life and who you are.
And it's about listening.
Huh?
And it's about being a good listener.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Being a good listener. That's it. And listening to your parents, do the right thing.
Because at the end of the day, what I've watched all of these kids commit crimes, right? They go out and they kill a person, and then the next time I look, they in jail. So what's the purpose? What's the end run in this? That's what I can't figure out. You know you're going to jail.
It's like they have no future. Like, they feel like they have no future, and that's where they're wrong at. Because they do have a great future, you know, they have a future, but they just don't care. It's like they just don't care about their future, and it shouldn't be that way.
Right. But that pen, that ink pen, in their hands, writing their story like the champ just said, and then they wake up one day and they're looking at that same internet that the champ talked about earlier, and they see their book on the internet surrounded by world champions. Come on.
Out of mind. Out of mind. You got to understand, you get a shot with an out of mind, somebody's going to come along and put something there, and basically they're going to be putting something there to do something wrong. They got to, that mind. They ain't got enough to do. Out of mind.
Mama and them said, an out of mind is a devil's workshop.
A devil's workshop.
That's what Mama and them said.
Yeah, my wife said, put them in the cotton field and let them clean up the cotton behind the gin. I said, no, I told her, I said, no, we done left those days. But idle mind is absolutely correct. These kids come home, and what do?
They go to a wee.
When I came home, man, I had to follow that mule. I thought it was a mule. It acted like one.
Chop that
so I don't mind. So I think that, and see, people got to do something that interests them. And writing, when you are writing a story, and the champ had alluded to it, this doesn't have to be a 400-page book, because we don't want them thinking that they have to write a 400-page book. You can publish your work with 24 pages minimum. So you're not talking about something that's going to be costly to the city, because all it is getting the artwork done, getting it edited, proofed, and making sure you got a good story in the classroom,
there
solid
you go.
Story. That's all.
That's
the rest
of that
that's
is history. Exactly. That's what I did. Make sure a good story. You know, my book is only like 109 pages. You know, and I put 11 world champions there in this story. You know, so therefore, you know, you just make sure you know what you're doing, and pretty much that's about all, really. You know.
So when you see these world champions come to your city, that's going to be major. You're talking about. When you look at the boxing world and how the boxing world evolved, you are talking about the giants coming to your city. And they haven't even mentioned not nearly one iota of the boxing professionals that will be traveling in this movement.
You know, I'm going to reach out and invite a lot of guys into Myrtle Beach June 13th, 14th, 15th. You know, so that's going to be a great situation. Maybe we can get a bunch of kids, boys and girls, to come, and then we'll offer a special situation for them. If they want to come to Myrtle Beach, if they're in South Carolina, North Carolina, it's going to be North Carolina versus South Carolina amateur boxing. And then I'm going to put the gloves on and do a little exhibition. But we welcome people to come and put it on the calendar, take the vacation. That's June. June in Myrtle Beach would be awesome. The beach would be loaded, crowded with people. And we're going to have that would be a great time to take your summer vacation.
Great.
Mr. Booker,
great
Booker still online?
Huh?
Mr. Booker still online?
Yes, I am.
What do you think of those ideas?
I think it would be a great idea because, you know, the more we expose our youth, the better prepared they are to face the challenges that they have to face on a daily basis. And, you know, and as the champ talks about writing, you know, I'm a big encourager of reading and public speaking. And so those skills go together. And because we have too few of our youth reading, you know. And as I travel, I see other races sitting down reading, but then I see young black kids sitting playing, like you say, the hand video games and doing things. So we need to challenge our kids to read and to become, you know, public speakers and the opportunity, every time we get an opportunity to expose them to something new and positive, we need to take that opportunity. So, you know, we definitely will look into maybe bringing some of them down to Myrtle Beach to that event, and because we're always looking for outlets for our youth.
Right, and as the Booker, what would be real, real good if we have helped a few of those kids right down there in Orangeburg to come with a published book, because we're going to have book signings, and so they don't go back empty-handed.
Absolutely. Okay. Mr. Booker, if you'd like for us to come down and visit your kids at the Boys and Girls, and we do something on the internet, I think we should have further discussion on how we can make that happen.
That sounds great. I would love that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and put my cell phone number out and my email, where you can contact me and we'll do that. So my cell phone is 910-658-3408. And my email is bonecrusher8@AOL.com. And Orangeburg is not that far from Myrtle Beach, so we can definitely make something happen the first of the year.
All right. That sounds great, Chair.
Yeah, because
give me that information one more time.
My cell phone is 910-658-3408.
Okay.
And then my email is bonecrusher8@AOL.com.
All right.
And
I'll send you a introduction email. That way we can start communicating.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Mr. Booker, I would get the mayor and Chief Davis involved from day one, because at the end of the day, it's going to help reduce crime in the city of Orangeburg.
Correct. Yes.
We have
a deputy sheriff in our county who runs a amateur boxing club. So, you know, here's someone that I'm sure that will work with us in making this, you know, something to come to fruition. So I'm excited about it.
Well, you know what I might do then, if we can work out a deal with the hotel down there for me and place to stay, I'll come down there several days and I'll just work out with the kids and see that way we can get the media involved and kind of get things really hopping and excited to, you know, get some coverage on TV as well as the internet.
Right. Okay. That sounds great.
Yeah, it can work. It can work. There's no question in my mind. If you get the right heads around the table, okay, and one says, okay, we can handle this. The next one says, we can handle this, because at the end of the day, it's about reducing crime and getting some of these kids removing the gun and putting a pen in their hands around true professionals going to help them not just write their story, not just publish their story, but to help also market their story, also to help put them on the speaker circuit so that they will be able to now go out and conduct writers, readers, publishers workshops on their own.
And I would definitely accompany Boy James Boone Curtis Smith to that place. I would definitely be there for him.
Jose have already spoken, so and he's down in Florida.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And I would definitely be there.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And it is. Yeah, but let me reiterate. I mean, you know, we definitely can come to Orangeburg, but at the same time, we can plug Orangeburg into us wherever we are, and wherever, you know, all Orangeburg kids need is access to computer, and I think Mr. Booker has that already. So wherever we are, they can see us, and we want to come there, but we don't have to be there to have for the kids to have access to us.
Right, because when we do these workshops, what the champ is saying is we have folks that teach us certain parts of the course, and you can be in Kenya and still be able to write and produce your book. And there's a lot of to the trade that they will learn. But the main thing is when we get ready to kick them off, and the camera flashes, and it flashes around these professionals and these kids, then the world will come to them.
It's called the World Wide Web, www.
It's a powerful. So hey, Chan,
go ahead, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I call a real reality show. See, all these reality shows that come on now, how are they helping these kids?
They're not. Mm. I mean, matter of fact, they're emboldening these kids to make bad decisions because what
exactly.
they're teaching is really it really is not real and it's not right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this is the first time that we got a chance to be part of something with the first time to actually to do something, a reality show that has – that
mm-hmm.
a benefit and a blessing to people.
Thank you.
In real meanings, in real meaning, true action.
Right. And the good thing here is Mayor Butler, he's also a pastor, and he got a lot of young people in his church. So he got some movers and shakers. Oh. And see, Mr. Booker, I know Mr. Booker, see. I know I'm knowing him because this young lady, Chevelle, used to work for him. I don't know whether she still does or not. But he has his Boys and Girls Club is scattered throughout Orangeburg County, and they are doing tremendous things, and they just need a little help, that's all.
Thank you. You're right. And Ms. Bell is still there.
Is she still there?
Yes, she is.
And all right, he got one down in Ellery. And these kids, they are looking for, and I've worked with Chevelle, they're looking for something to do rather than twiddling their thumbs. Now we give them something with some realistic goals and objective because when the champ walks in there with his book, Mad, Jose walks in there with his book, Courage, and I walk in, well, my wife, she walks in with Oh My Hair Day. You follow what I'm saying? They see the reality, and they say, you know what, we can do this too, because they can. At the end of the day, they'll have their book.
You know, and as someone was saying earlier, that these kids' minds, they are like sponges, and they're just waiting to soak something up. And so we need to make sure that what they suck into those minds are positive things that are going to define who they are in a positive way. And you know, this is all they want. The
mm-hmm.
youth of Orangeburg and the world, you know, they want an opportunity, and they want someone to show that they care about them. And if you do that, you know, you have them. If you show that you care about them, you have them. And that's why the game get our kids so easily because they show that they care about them. And so then they convert them over. So we need to show that we care about them so we can have them being productive citizens and not thugs.
And so they can be on the right side of history in life.
Well, hey, the book club, you don't have to worry about it. For two now. But they won't be putting it on to go in the ring against Ed Miller. Hey, who's he?
Hey, I just
we're not going to hurt him. We're not going to hurt him, but we're just going to take the thug out of them.
Jose said if they get in the ring with Bone Crusher, they need to have on the whole armor of God.
But when these guys walk in the room, we won't have that issue. Mr. Booker already knows that when they walk in the room, these kids will come to attention and they'll say, you know what, I see my future. Because that's all, if we can nudge 5, 10, 20, 50, 100 kids and turn them around, then they can help to turn their peers around, and then the world will change.
Yes, let them see the light.
Right.
Let them see the light. That's it. Let them see the light.
Let them see the light. I like that.
Well,
I like that phrase.
Yeah. We might need to have a press conference in Orangeburg in January. What might be good is have it around the 1st of February, Black History.
Black History, Mr. Booker?
Yes, that sounds great. That's something that we really could work with, and I think we could spearhead that.
Okay. Well, that's the key. That's the key right there, is that we get the leadership. If these guys are going to commit themselves and bring other professionals, then the leadership have to say, you know what, we won't spend $100,000 this year in sending all these kids to jail. We'll take some of that and make them writers, make them authors, And everybody won't be an author. Some of them might be illustrators. Some of them might just be proofreaders. But at least their lives will change and they can work together for a common cause.
In a positive way.
In a positive way.
Getting involved.
You know, and it's so good that you said that, because we have kids that are excellent drawers. They can draw anything. And we have kids that are excellent readers. So it's a partnership, you know, so we can work. And we have Boys and Girls Club, we have partnership with the mayor. The mayor has been out to speak to our members. So he is 100% behind the Boys and Girls Club. We have partnership with the Sheriff's Department. They take our kids on trips. They sponsor trips for our youth. So, you know, I think a press conference, we would have all of those individuals there, and the message would be a message of solidarity, and I think it would be great for Orangeburg.
That's great. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Because if we don't, we got the knowledge. And most of us are getting old now, so we're going to have to depart this, because when we all get to heaven, the Lord don't want us bringing nothing back but our soul.
But what we're doing, we're teaching kids how to take our place, and that's key. So we don't want to die out before we teach other people, kids, the younger folks, to take our place. So that we're doing a great thing, right, what we're doing.
Correctly said.
Well, Pastor Hill, we've come up to the top of the hour again, almost 10 o'clock, and would you like to kind of close us out? And we want to thank everybody, all our guests, Mr. Miller, Mr. Booker, Jose Ribalta, and always Mr. Hill. It's great to have you on the call. We're going to let you kind of close us out, if you don't mind.
Now, since we got a newcomer on the show, the Boys and Girls Chief Executive close us out. He can start the thing off in Orangeburg.
Go ahead, Mr. Booker.
Okay, well, I'm not quite sure what y'all mean by close out, so is that by ending with a prayer?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You know, as a newcomer, I want to be appropriate. But, Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to share, Father. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy that you have laid on our hearts and our minds to come together to have an impact on your kingdom, Father. And, Father, as we teach one another, Father, as we support one another, Father, we do it in your Son Jesus' name, Father. And, Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen, Father, and let this ministry grow, Father. Let it grow that you will get the glory, Father. And, Father, Father, we do this in your Son Jesus' name, and we give thanks, and we ask for blessing, and we acknowledge blessing in his name. Amen.
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 Thank you very
Amen.
Much. Amen. Thank you to all the guests.
Let it be real. Let it be real. Let it be real.
With that said, good night, everybody.